This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Bulls Sports Ethos Coverage Show. I'm your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my buddy and co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill. And we are still aching here for some NBA basketball, Trey. I don't know what to do with my life, man. I don't know. I think I've been playing a lot of chess recently. Have you taken up any hobbies in this little hiatus we've had?
No, I went back and watched some Cade Cunningham games, actually, is what I was doing. Did you see that really young chess player beat the number one guy?
I did not.
That went viral? Yeah, he's like a 16-year-old from India. Just, you know, an absolute prodigy beat that. So maybe look that up. You can get some chess tips.
Yeah. I'm on chess.com. Everybody look me up. I'm Ginsberg Beats, G1NSBERGB3ATS. Yeah, look me up there and let's play some chess. No, but I'm excited, man. Today we've got a good show for you about the Chicago Bulls here. We are going to discuss this absolutely freaking brutal schedule coming up for the Chicago Bulls after the All-Star break, Trey. And we're also going to discuss our top three things that we're looking for after the All-Star break for our beloved Chicago Bulls. We're also going to touch on a little bit of the dunk contest, I think, because we had a little bit of a back and forth on Twitter a bit and a little bit of back and forth in some messages here about how we think they can improve the dunk contest, because obviously that was just a crap show. Nobody wanted to watch the dunk contest that happened this year, Trey. It was abysmal. Did you watch any of it?
I didn't watch any of it. That Kareem thing that went viral, yeah. Him walking out for Jalen Green. That was everyone with the dunk contest this year. So I was going to go and watch the highlights afterwards. That's normally what I do with the dunk contest, but. Right. After hearing how poorly it was received, I'm not even taking the time to go and watch it.
I handle it like I wait for social media to tell me if it was good or bad, and then if they tell me it's good, I've watched like the Blake Griffin dunk contest from a while ago, and I watched obviously the Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon dunk contest. But yeah, I don't watch it when it's happening. I usually just go back and watch the dunks on YouTube or whatever, wherever I can find them. Twitter or whatever you have you. So, but anyways, it's the Chicago Bulls Sports Ethos Show, guys. I do want to remind you guys real quick before we get started here to go take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now, especially if you play some fantasy basketball. It's really, really helpful. I'm doing pretty well in all my fantasy leagues this year, Trey. So hopefully that holds, and I win a little bit of money here. I got a little bit of money on the line, so we'll see how that goes. But let's talk about the upcoming schedule here, Trey. I'm gonna let you give me your thoughts first, but 23 games left for the Chicago Bulls here for this season, and just absolutely brutal, man. I mean, that's the one thing I'll say, but go ahead, give me your thoughts on the Bulls coming out of this All-Star break, what they've got to do, what's going on here.
I believe I saw they have the second hardest schedule and for the second half of the season, and it shows coming out of the gate. When you see the Hawks and you're excited about that being a good game, that's when you know things are tough. And I think what I saw when I looked at the schedule coming up, what I'm going to miss most is that point of attack defense against Trae Young and Ja Morant, because we have Atlanta, Memphis, then Miami, and then Atlanta again. So three of those first four games, we're facing explosive point guards, and we simply don't have the bodies that we would normally have to throw out there to kind of stifle that offensive system they kind of use. So that's my first knee-jerk reaction looking at the schedule coming up.
Yeah, so like I said, 23 games remaining. Eight of their next 12, Trey, are against playoff teams. So that's Memphis, Miami, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Utah, Phoenix, and Toronto. And I'm not sure if Toronto's even – I'm counting them as a playoff team. I'm not sure if they're actually in the playoff yet or not. They might be in the play-in right now. But I think by the time we play them, they're going to be in the playoffs because they are just a good team and they're starting to play a lot better. So eight of their next 12 games against playoff caliber, you know, opponents. And I'm not even counting the Hawks in that. Two of those games are against the Hawks. So if you want to count the Hawks as a playoff team, which I wouldn't blame you if you did, that'd be 10 out of the next 12 against playoff teams. So very, very tough schedule. According to Tankathon.com, like you said, Trey, they have the second hardest strength of schedule of remaining games. The first hardest, actually, do you know who that is? Any guesses? Let me give you a guess here. Oh, you're still muted. There you go.
Is it the Lakers?
No, the Lakers are right behind the Bulls, actually, so you're close. It is the Milwaukee Bucks. Have the hardest strength of schedule left, and it's they're beating us by a pretty healthy margin, actually, by about one percentage point here, which is actually a healthy margin, you know, compared to other margins in between other teams. But
well, that's because they have to face us three more times.
They're playing the Bulls three times. That's one of their toughest opponents. That's what's up here. So no, it's great, man. So yeah, it is an absolute brutal schedule here. Eight out of the next 12 against the playoff teams, but not only that, 14 of the next 23 of the last 23 games are against a team that is 500 or better, Trey. 14 of the 23 games. That's definitely over half of them. 13 out of 23 of those games are away games, and we have three back-to-backs. That is tough, man. That is going to be an absolute crap show, especially when we're down so many bodies. I'm glad we're getting Tristan Thompson here. I was really hoping they would. I know that Goran Dragic probably wasn't going to come to Chicago, but I'm still kind of holding out hope that they get some kind of guard help just for the next month. It doesn't have to be anybody flashy, just some kind of depth, because this is just a brutal stretch, man.
It really is, just absolutely brutal. And the Bulls are they're five games back from being in the seventh spot, so it's not like there's this big gap where they have this nice cushion, even though they are tied for first place in the East right now. So to me, it's they really have to win some of these games. And I think they can. Adding Tristan Thompson was big. And I think the difficulty in this schedule coming up was part of the reason that AK was willing to use that biannual exception to offer Tristan Thompson a little more money to get him to come here rather than go somewhere else. Because Vucevic, while he has been playing great, we haven't had the bodies behind him to back him up. And we're getting Zach back, and he looks nice and healthy in the All-Star game. We've got DeMar. You know, Caruso, maybe he'll be back a little before schedule. Maybe we'll get lucky and get some Patrick Williams. But we didn't have the depth in the front court to kind of sustain these quality teams night after night after night, because the Bulls have had a softer schedule and they banked those wins. They've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, and that's what you want to do. But against this real competition, you can't have those 4-minute stretches where you've got Tony Bradley out there and he's playing abysmal.
Yeah, we absolutely have to win these games. I know you mentioned the Hawks. Those are two, you know, very winnable games for us here coming up very shortly. Have to win these games that we are supposed to win. And we need to try to sneak some of these other games that you know, are going to be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, we've got the Kings coming up, I know, pretty relatively soon also. So games like that, just got to put those wins in the bucket, like you said, just to kind of stay in there. Now, I've been saying since the beginning of the season, Trey, that I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bulls, you know, slip to maybe the fourth or fifth seed. Do you think, I mean, given our strength of schedule, is that more of a probability now instead of just a possibility?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm not going to say a probability because I think having Zach and DeMar both there along with Vooch, having those three guys, if they play the majority of the games, I believe, you know, we have the depth. Io's going to be around. We've got, you know, Tristan Thompson. Now, I like the players we have around them, even if we don't have the primary guys. Kobe White's, you know, been playing great. I don't want to not mention him. But you mentioned that. That kind of leads me right into the three things we're looking forward to, you know, at the second half. My third one was, can the Bulls at least keep home court advantage in the first round?
Yeah.
And a lot of that ties into this schedule. I know they're in tied for first right now, but they're only two, you know, Milwaukee's in fifth place and they're only 2.5 games back. So it would be very easy, you know, they could slip to fifth in 1 week, you know, have a bad 3-game losing streak and boom, you're in fifth place. So to me, I want to see the Bulls hopefully have home court advantage in the first round. That's one of my goals going into the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as the top three thing, that's a really good one to have. It's something I had, but yeah, we want to talk about the top three things we have looking forward to for the Bulls after the All-Star break. But I don't know, keeping that top four seed, Trey, going to be difficult with this schedule. And I mean, if you just look at the month of March, from March 22nd to March 29th specifically, there's just a brutal stretch at the end there. It's only 8 days. They've got 5 games in 8 nights, and they're all away games. I can't imagine that they win even 50% of those, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go, you know, 3-5. There's 5 games there, 2-3, 1-4 even. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them do that at the end of March. 11 out of 15 games in March are away games. I don't know, man. I think the Bulls are probably going to slip in the standings here. It's not going to surprise me. something I've been saying since the, you know, start of the season. I think the Bulls are more of a fourth or fifth seed. We had a very easy schedule to start the year. I remember we played Detroit a couple of times. We played the Pelicans, which that's actually one of my keys here and one of my things I'm looking forward to. But you know, we were talking about Jeff Van Gundy before we came on here, Trey. And I know, you know, you have the full quote or listen to the full quote, but he was talking about how the Bulls, he didn't see them beating a Miami Heat team, a Brooklyn Nets team, a Sixers team, or a Bucks team in a seven-game series. So if we do slip out of that top four, I don't know, maybe my dream here of winning a playoff series is going to be dead in the water. What do you think?
Even if they don't have home court advantage, I think as long as they can be healthy going into the playoffs, this team can beat really any team in the East right now. I'd have to see Harden and Embiid in Philadelphia and what's going on in New York with Kyrie. But to me, it's all about the health. I'm higher on the Bulls potential than you are. I've been on that Bulls are legit contenders train for a while now. And really, this is the stretch that they have to prove it. You mentioned they have that 5-game road trip. It's at Milwaukee. You know, that's a rough one. But then it's at New Orleans. You need to beat New Orleans, especially when it's not, you know, the second of a back-to-back. You get a day off in between. Then you go to Cleveland. Then you go, you know, that's a tough one. Hopefully you can beat them again. But then you have at New York and at Washington. If you should be able to beat New Orleans, New York, and Washington and go at least 3-2 in that five-game stretch.
So to me,
this is about it's time for the Bulls. They're going to be having guys come back in. So I hate to use another one of my points, but my number one point was when the players come back, how are they coming back? Because we have so many guys coming back from injury. We've got Caruso, we've got Lonzo Ball, we hopefully have Patrick Williams. You know, Zach's just now coming back from being out a little bit. We're adding Tristan Thompson into the mix. He's not coming back from injury, but he's coming to this team. So there's so many questions about bringing these guys in, implementing them, and it's not like they're going to have easy competition to get, you know, some easy reps. There's no what do they call them in MMA? Cans, no trash cans. There's no easy wins on this one.
Yeah. So you already gave two of your things that you're looking forward to there. You're looking for can you just spell those out for me again? I'm sorry. You're looking for go ahead.
When the players come back, how do they look coming back? Because we have so many pieces coming back into the fold. Mm-hmm. And then the other was just keeping home court advantage for the first.
Can they keep home? Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So can they keep home court advantage? And how are these, you know, returning players going to look when they come back? I like those. I think that is one thing that's going to, if I were to make an argument against my own worries that the Bulls are going to, you know, flame out here towards the end of the season. It would be the saving grace is that, you know, like you said, we haven't been healthy all season and we do have these people coming back. And so that's a big unknown. And maybe the entire league is selling us short because we don't have our full power yet. And we're going to be up to full power here shortly in a few weeks, you know, maybe to 3-4 weeks. You know, we'll have everybody back. That's a very real possibility. And that is one thing that could really change this equation for me. So maybe there is some hope there, Trey. I will say the Heat, if I'm being honest, they don't scare me as far as like being a playoff team. I think that they, you know, it feels like they're more built for the regular season. I know Spoelstra is a great coach, fantastic coach, but I just feel like they're getting a lot of contributions from guys like Gabe Vincent, you know, Max Strus. I mean, people that are not going to really be a factor in a playoff series where you're playing, you know, 7-8 guys, basically maybe a 9-man rotation and you're playing everybody 35 plus minutes. I mean, what do you think? Do the Heat really, are you really buying into them as a playoff threat to the Bulls?
It depends on how much you believe in Vooch. Spoelstra is one of the absolute best coaches in the league. And Miami, when they have the chance to scheme those defensive schemes and Lowry's healthy and Butler's healthy and Bam is healthy, they're going to be an absolute force to reckon with come playoff time on the defensive end. They're going to be hard for anyone to handle. And I think the real key for the Bulls, I think DeMar would have trouble with whatever they schemed up. I think, you know, Lowry, they know each other well. Zach, he's obviously athletic enough that he could take over the game, but I think that Spoelstra would make it very hard on him. I think the advantage that the Bulls would have against the Heat would really be Vucevic and his size. And we've seen him the last couple weeks be able to take over some games in the, you know, with his 2-point field goals, not stretching the floor, but getting in the paint, getting in the post, and just using his size to take things over. And he would have to do that against Bam for me to that would be my number one key against them in a series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I know we're going to do probably closer to playoff time. We're going to do some maybe, you know, potential playoff matchups, which I'm excited about, and what we're going to be looking for and those kind of things. I think you make a good point against the Heat. I think, you know, Vooch, his size is really an advantage against most teams. He's a unique player. You know, people, I won't include myself that I'm selling him short. I was down on him to begin the year because he was having a bad year. I expected more from him. Now that he's playing a lot better, and I'll talk about that in a minute too. No, I think it is a real advantage for the Bulls. It's a player that not a lot of people have. I mean, you can put maybe a Karl Anthony Towns, a Nikola Jokic, and a Joel Embiid in that same group as far as the center position. I don't really think anyone else stands out to me as maybe Domantas Sabonis, but he's kind of like a Vooch light, really. He's not as good. But they really have, it's a great thing that they have this guy on their team, and especially now that he's playing so well. So let me just go ahead and bring that up. Three things that we're looking for after the All-Star break, and I do have Mr. Vucevic on here. I'll just go ahead and lay him out there. I want Vuce to continue his play, just like the last 20 games. I know I mentioned it in our grades show, Trey. We did a mid-season grades show over the All-Star break here, and I want everyone to go check that out. But he's shooting on 54, 29, 83 shooting splits. 21.8 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game. If that were to continue, and if that were to be his, you know, the rest of the season, that'd be his best field goal percentage of his career during that stretch. His second worst three-point percentage, because he's not shooting it well from three, but that's okay. I don't really mind that. Second best free throw percentage, second best points per game, and best rebounds per game if he were to keep up those averages that I just mentioned there. So he's playing significantly above the mean right now in the last 20 games, but I want to see him continue that strong play. I think he's finally – it's clicked, and I think he's finally figured out how to play next to DeMar. I think that was the real challenge because I think playing next to Zach, he had fantastic numbers and looked fantastic just playing next to Zach LaVine. But I think having Vooch in there, and we've talked about that in our DeMar DeRozan episode, and just clogging the lane where he likes to be at that elbow, you know, spot, it was tough for Vooch to find his spots, I think. And he's figuring that out. I mean, do you agree with that or do you disagree?
I agree 100%. And it was actually my third point. My second one was, can Vooch sustain the recent success? So The same thing as you. So I'm right there with you. This is huge for the Bulls. And DeMar's and Zach, they're better players than Vooch. But Vooch is arguably the most important player on the Bulls roster, because while we have so many back, you know, we have plenty of backcourt depth and we have the backcourt stars, even we have the two stars in the backcourt, but we really only have the one guy in the front court that ties everything together. And that's Vooch.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they have Tristan Thompson. I think they needed that depth. Absolutely. I think, like you said, the Tony Bradley minutes, even though on paper he's a plus minus, he's a plus, I believe, like a plus 8.3 or something. I'm not taking much stock in that. We, you know, using the eye test and just seeing what's out there, I think we can get better, more productive minutes out of Tristan Thompson. I'm hoping. We're going to have to see, obviously, in these last 23 games of the season. But yeah, Vooch is such an important thing here. The other thing I want to see from Vooch, obviously, and this might be a little bit more on Billy Donovan, is just the continuing the defensive effort. He's been a beast on the defensive side too, and it's hit or miss. There are some games where he's less engaged, obviously, and you could tell. But the games where he is engaged, he's been incredible on the defensive side. And I think, you know, I want to see that continue, but I also want to see Donovan help him not to be exposed. And that's going to take his other teammates as well. Patrick Williams coming back, things like that, to not be exposed on the defensive end when we're talking about the pick and roll defense and him always getting that drop coverage, which, I mean, we see it exposed with Rudy Gobert, who's a defensive player of the year. It's not like it's something that's easy to do, but I think that's something that that will really benefit us going into the playoffs if we can kind of shore that up. So I want to see Vooch continue his strong play. The other thing I've got here, since you gave 2 years, Trey, I'm going to give one of mine, another one of mine. I want to see Zach LaVine have an outburst. He's had a good season. I'm going to point to February of last season. And that was, he played 14 games in February of 2020-21. He had 54, 48, 83 shooting splits. Just incredible for a guard. 65.2% true shooting percentage, 30.9 points per game, points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 4.7 assists per game. Just phenomenal stuff. I mean, you know, I know we were talking a little bit about the MVP voting. He's in the top 15 somehow of the Kia MVP ladder. I don't think I've seen it just yet. He hasn't really had just that incredible showing just yet. He's been good and solid. I will say December of this season was his best so far. It was only a 9-game sample size, but he had 53, 48, 80 shooting splits. That's compared to the 54, 48, 83. So pretty much spot on, almost there, just a little bit slightly worse. 65% true shooting percentage, so just about there. 27.8 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 6.1 assists per game. But again, that was only over 9 games. So I want to see him do it, you know, 23 games to close the season, Trey. March is going to be an absolute crap show. Don't want to say the other word. Gotta watch our language here. But it's going to be an absolute, you know, difficult March. I want to see this guy show out. Do you think he has it in him?
I do. He mentioned that the knee feels good after the All-Star game. He showed that it feels good, you know, with that nice 360 dunk he had. And as long as the knee continues to hold up, I expect Zach to come in and want to help shoulder the load from DeMar. He knows that DeMar DeRozan has had to carry this team while he's been out and while he's been dealing with these issues. It's no secret. These guys, and they're professionals, they understand that. And I fully expect Zach to close out the season just on an absolute tear. So I think that's a great one for you to have. It kind of rolled through my head something with him, but to me, he's just been so consistent the last couple years in, like you mentioned, those shooting splits. He's so talented at scoring the ball at all three levels. It's just such a pleasure to watch when it's all working. And I'm really excited that he's coming back. I've missed Bulls basketball. And like it's talking about Zach and just thinking about him coming back and being healthy. Like that's just really getting me excited for this second half run.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy. Yeah, and one thing we saw with him, obviously he had the knee issue, but before that he had the thumb issue, which was really bothering me. And that was a little caveat I had also for my Zach LaVine going on outburst here. I want to see that ball security, especially in the clutch, just be, you know, what it was last year. Because last year he was absolutely elite at all levels. He had shored up a lot of the weaknesses I thought he had in his game, which was decision making, which was late game ball security. This year, not so much. He's had a few flubs, I should say. And you know, I'm not saying that he's having a bad season. I'm not saying I dislike Zach LaVine. Don't take me that way. I love Zach LaVine. I think he's fantastic. I think he's elite level, even with these weaknesses. But these are things that he's displayed already that he can do better. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for him to really, if he's going to be the star of the team, we're going to give him a max contract, Trey. I want to see him beat that max guy. You got to show me, baby. Show me, baby, if you want to get that money, man. Don't you agree?
I mean, he could struggle the rest of the season, and I would still show him that money. He's been that good. But, yeah, you would like to see him get healthy and be able to show his true potential because, like you said, he's just had lingering issues all year, whether it's the thumb, which was bothering him, or the knee issue. They both took serious tolls on his game, and you could see it as you watched him. He gutted through it because the Bulls needed him out there, and he was still effective. So I think that's a testament to, you know, the best ability is availability, and Zach's going to play through things when you need him to. But to have him come back and be healthy and just show the rest of the league that the Bulls, they're not going to fade because of this tough schedule, that would really that would make the max contract doubters just – I would love for him to just silence them. I want everyone to be in agreement that he deserves this. I don't want to have to try and convince people about this.
Right.
Like just come out and show everyone that you deserve that max.
Yeah, this is my message to Zach LaVine. Become the equal of DeMar DeRozan. Become the equal because, like you said, DeMar has carried us so far this season. We are now in the nitty-gritty home stretch of the season. This is our go-to guy. This is our star. This is where you need to show out. So I want him to just go on absolute tear down the stretch. And I want people to question by the end of the season, Trey. I want them to question, okay, who really had the best season on the Bulls? Was it DeMar DeRozan or was it Zach LaVine? If he can change that narrative within the next, you know, month or two, we've got a really great team because both those guys are capable of doing that. And I think DeMar DeRozan's done it so far and Zach hasn't. So that's my second one. My last one here, Mr. Trey. is kind of a more in-depth one. It is the return. I want to see the return of defense. Just some defense finally being played by these Chicago Bulls. I want to see the Bulls play better defense. Obviously, Lonzo Ball and Alex Cruz coming back. That's going to be huge for this lineup. They average 3.7 steals per game between them. Lonzo has 1.8 and Cruz has 1.9 per game. So just elite level that way. And steals really are the most effective kind of defense, outcomes of defense, I'll say, because it does change the possession and it takes away a possession from the other, from the offensive team. But even outside of that, obviously we saw a defense that didn't result in steals from them. That's still just fantastic. Just point of attack defense, as well as just perimeter defense. Just getting out on shooters, forcing them to put a dribble down, get uncomfortable and miss shots. This team, when we were all healthy through the first five games, and I'll point to it again, Patrick Williams, another key part of this, through the first five games, October 20th through October 28th, we were fourth in defensive rating. Now, there's a caveat with that, Trey. Through those five games, we played Detroit twice, who is 29th in offensive rating. We played the Pelicans once, which is 24th in offensive rating. We played the Knicks, who are 25th in offensive rating. And we played Toronto, who is 12th in offensive rating. But four out of five of those teams were pretty bad at offense. So let's go ahead and call it like it is. The Bulls are probably never going to be a top four defensive team, but they could probably be a top 10 defensive team with everyone back, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think a top 10 defensive team is what we expect them to be when everyone comes back and everyone's healthy. And if they can do that, you mentioned when you were talking about what you wanted to see from Vucevic, his vulnerability in the drop coverage. You're not as vulnerable there when the point of attack defenders can get over the screens and not have Vooch have to come and show and force a guy to, you know, to keep someone from shooting a 3-point shot. If Lonzo's getting over that screen, it's not a big deal that Vucevic had to drop. So I think getting those guys back, that should really help the defense overall, just kind of not be leaky. And hopefully that can lead to some transition points that the Bulls just simply aren't getting right now, because in the last 2 weeks, they have been the absolute worst team at getting turnovers.
Didn't even know that, but you know, you did mention that to me before we got in air, and also it makes a lot of sense. Just that matches the eye test 100%, because it just seems like we are working so hard. We're asking so much of DeMar DeRozan to create offense for us. When you get those easy buckets, you know, an easy 6 to 8 to 10 points a game, then it's just so much pressure off of your offense, and you know, you can miss a few more shots. You don't have to necessarily have those high stress situations where games are close. Instead of a 10-point game, you know, with 2 or 3 minutes left, you've got a 15-point game with 2 or 3 minutes left. So it's less stressful on everybody playing that game. Bulls are currently sitting at 20th in defensive rating in the league, so bottom third basically. In the first month and a half, Trey, the first five games, obviously fourth, but in the first month and a half, which is a pretty sizable, you know, sample size, they were eighth in defensive rating. And they played Utah, they played Philadelphia, they played Brooklyn, they played Golden State Warriors, they played Denver Nuggets, all these teams during the first, you know, top half of offensive rating. So, like you said, don't tell me this team can't be a top 10 defensive team. They can. When they're relatively healthy, they didn't even have Patrick Williams for most of that stretch. So I think there's also a little something here to be said about addition by subtraction, because when you get those other guys back, like Patrick Williams and Caruso and et cetera, you're not playing guys like Malcolm Hill. You're not playing guys like, you know, Matt Thomas as much. So you're getting those guys off the floor, and, you know, maybe even Tony Bradley, getting those guys off the floor probably helps us on the defensive side too, just because they're not as good of athletes, right?
No, they're not. They try hard. They are usually in the right spots, but they're just not the defensive players that our starters are. And they're starters for a reason. You know, Caruso comes in and he's a culture changer. Lonzo comes in, and I think he's in like the 98th percentile in block rate for guards, because he's just a game changer on that. And especially with his size, he's able to help cover. He's able to help, you know, dig down on drives whenever he can. You know, he can help off his man a little bit and dig in, help stop that drive, and still get back out on his guy because of his size. So to me, I hate to keep saying, you know, when we're healthy, but, you know, I'm still holding out, just waiting around on that, because the Bulls have proven, at least to me, that they're a resilient team, that they are, you know, they've come together. They're really fighting for something. But now it's time to see how do you shape up against the best teams come playoff time. And I want to see them be healthy come playoff time.
Yeah, absolutely. Health is going to do a lot to solve our issues. And, I mean, it's not bad when you have issues, Trey, and you're sitting tied for first in the Eastern Conference. I mean, let's just, you know, call it like it is. It's been a good season. So just kind of going over some of the people around us in the standings, the Miami Heat, who are tied with us, obviously, for first, they're 16th in strength of schedule. So they've got a relatively easy schedule, definitely compared to us. The 76ers are 12th in strength of schedule. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 22nd, so they have a very easy schedule coming up. Milwaukee Bucks are, again, they're the only one that's got a harder schedule than us, so that's pretty good there. Boston Celtics, where are they here? At the very bottom, where are they? Oh, no, they forgot the Boston Celtics. No, they're 10th. They're 10th, so they actually have a pretty difficult schedule coming up, too. Toronto Raptors are in 7th currently. And they have the 24th strength of schedule. And I'll go ahead and give you the Nets too, since everyone's saying we can't beat them. They are 13th in strength of schedule, so relatively hard. So I would say, you know, what was that, like 3 or 4 teams that have a pretty darn easy schedule, especially compared to us, and they're right around us, man. Like you said, there's only 4.5 games that separate 6th place from 1st place. We are all bunched up there. I don't know, man. Looking at this, and I want to say as a homer, I want to say, man, the Bulls can beat anybody, and I want to see them prove me wrong here and do that. But my logical side, Trey, is just saying, man, I think they're going to fall to like 4th or 5th, and I'm hoping it's going to be 4th so they can keep that home court advantage, like you said.
Yeah, I can definitely see them falling down a few spots, but hopefully come playoff time, they hold on to that home court advantage, and if they can get it to a game 7, we can have a game 7 in Chicago, because I think that place would just go crazy.
That would be insane. I just want to see a playoff series, man. It's been so long and since we saw a good playoff series in Chicago. I am excited, man. Good season so far. I hope it continues into the playoffs. All right, so you and me, let's talk a little bit about the dunk contest. Lots to be said on NBA Twitter about this dunk contest, and we're not going to be talking too much about the Bulls here, so if you are listening for Bulls stuff, you know, you can go ahead and tune out now. But let me go ahead and tell you before you do, we have a new brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. So yeah, lots to be said on Twitter, because the dunk contest this year was absolutely just make a little peep noise there. Nobody wanted to watch it, man. I did watch a few of the highlights. I watched the Cole Anthony Duncan Timms. Yeah, it was just a snore fest, man. The guy sat there and freaking tied his shoes for 5 minutes. So you said you had a few ideas to fix this dunk contest, man. Why don't you lay those on me, and I'll tell you my thoughts.
Well, neither of them are my ideas. They're things I've heard or seen elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The first one, I don't remember where I heard it. It was on a podcast somewhere, but it's basically like a dunk contest, but you have somebody a dunked on contest.
Okay.
So you have somebody protecting the rim, and you have to try and dunk on them, and then you have people rate the dunked on, and then it's just kind of like a tournament style.
Yeah.
And so that was the first one that.
Well, hold on right there. Let me ask you about that. Isn't there more of a risk of injury there, though?
I mean, probably. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of one, but you would think that the guys would go into it kind of like the All-Star game, mm-hmm, in terms of like the contesting. You know, you get Robert Williams out there and he's trying to block the shot, but he's not, you know, going so far as to try and, you know, hurt himself doing it. So to me, I think it would be a little bit fun, but you're right. That's probably a little risky, and it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite idea. That was the first one. I saved the best one for last.
Okay. Hit me with that one.
All right. So this one was from a podcast called Hoops Temple. I will give them a shout out because I remember this one. And they didn't have this exact idea, but it's like a variation. So what they said was, basically have like 5 to 10 categories, like so between the leg, behind the back, 360, right. something like that. And so what you do is you have them spin the wheel. You have three dunks, and for two of the dunks, you have them spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, they have to do that variation.
Yeah.
And then the third one is just a free, you can do whatever you want. So, you know, if you have somebody, you can get creative with one,
right.
but then, you know, you have to go under the legs for one, and you can go under the legs and do a reverse. You can go under the legs twice if you can do that, like on the old NBA games.
Yeah.
But that was my other one, and only three attempts. Because you don't want to have guys having these crazy amount of attempts. You just go up and go after it.
Yeah, it was really a bummer, and I didn't watch it again, but I read all the comments on Twitter. It was really a bummer to read, you know, Jalen Green missing 8 out of 9 of his dunks. I mean, that's gross. I mean, you know, they shouldn't have as many attempts to miss all these shots. I mean, it's just get it done with. You know, and they need to speed up the competition a little bit.
But what do you think about spinning the wheel?
No, I do like that. I do like that idea, and that's more in line with what my
I think it would simplify things a little bit. You know, you wouldn't have all these gimmicks. You wouldn't have all this stuff. You would just have these guys going out there showing off their athleticism and just throwing down monster awesome dunks.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem is that people are just stretching to get creative. Like you had Jalen Green, I did see a little clip of this go out and put an NFT on him before he dunked, which is like, who cares? Like it's just so stupid.
Is that what was on the chain?
Yeah, it was an NFT of a dunk or something.
I didn't see what it was. I just saw like a little gift of him like putting the chain on to dunk, and I didn't know.
It makes me groan, man. I'm just like, and the Tim's thing makes me groan too. Yeah, it was cool, I guess. I mean, Tim's are pretty heavy, but again, the dude took 5 minutes to tie. So anyways, my grand point is that these players don't really have the time or the creativity or the experience to come up with a dunk that's going to satisfy a crowd in these conditions. Okay. Not everyone does. I'm sure some people do. And you know, we've seen them. We've seen Zach LaVine. We've seen Aaron Gordon. We've seen Michael Jordan. We've seen Dominique Wilkins in the dunk contest. And these guys have that pizzazz. They have that showmanship as well as the ability to just be athletically and just crazy. So I think you take away, like you said, with your wheel idea, you take that away from them. You don't have to think about a dunk to do. My idea is use the creative community, use the community of all NBA fans. Design me a dunk, you know, give me a dunk that you think somebody can do. And you know, maybe you have somebody display that they can do it or show you that they can do it or something like that. So there's a video. You have 9 people basically in the entire world come up with dunks that are unique and fun to do. You give that to the dunk contestants a couple of weeks before the competition, say, hey, practice these 9 dunks. And then maybe you bring out a wheel and you have those 9 dunks on the wheel, and then they land on the dunk, and then they have to do the same dunk. They all do that. You get graded on the same dunk. And then, of course, you can throw in your own flair. You can do whatever you want. It's still a creative competition. But you have to do, you know, like you said, behind the back, blah, 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 under your legs, whatever it is, right? So I think you take that pressure of having to think in the moment or before the competition or whatever to have to come up with this crap while you're doing an NBA season and you're playing and you're traveling. It's just too much. Right.
It's not like they decide who's going to be in the dunk contest months and months in advance.
Right.
It's not like these guys have tons of time to plan. So I've seen a lot of people talking about bringing people who aren't in the NBA into the dunk contest. I don't particularly care for that idea.
Mm.
However, the celebrity game is on a different night, correct?
Yes, it was.
I would love to have a celebrity dunk contest and not have it be like celebrities, but have it just be like the most famous like YouTube dunkers and Instagram like these guys who dunk for a living. These guys who just have these super creative, crazy things. Because one, they do have the time to come up with these insane things they'd be able to show off.
Yes.
And two, I think it would inject a little life back into the other dunk contest a little bit. I think these NBA players, they respect athleticism, they respect creativity, and I think they would eat up being able to watch that after the celebity game.
Because if you put an NBA team, maybe 4 dunkers against a team of 4 celebrity dunkers, whatever.
Well, Instagram see, I don't want to put them against them because NBA players, they have those egos. Like that's why we don't have the stars doing the dunk contest now, because they don't want to be the dunk contest loser.
Mm.
So to me, like that's part of not wanting to bring them in. But I would like maybe not even having to beat them in the competition, but the celebrity games before the dunk contest. So we would see these crazy dunks, and then the next night we would be watching the. So if nothing else, I would think the NBA dunkers would want to step their game up just because they would be following up that act.
So let me touch on something here, which is the most common answer across Twitter for getting people into the dunk contest and making it better is just to increase the prize money, which has gone down. It's like it was like $40,000 this year. And it was 100,000, 105,000 last year, and 120 the year before that. So just, I mean, it's a pittance, you know, compared to everything else. So I saw John Morant did, he had a comment out there that he would do it for $1 million, a cool milli. And I mean, that's cool and all. I crunched some numbers here though, Trey. $1 million for John Morant, and then this is based on a $52,000 a year average salary for the average American. So $1 million for John Morant would be like $4,280 for an average American. You know, it's a decent amount of money, but you think about all the efforts you have to put into it. You think about the potential to hurt yourself. You think about the potential. You have no, you know, guaranteed chance to win it. It's not exactly a hefty chunk of change, $1 million for an NBA player.
I imagine that John Morant is taking care of enough people in his life that if he makes that extra million, it might only be $4,000 to him. But that's another house he can buy somebody in it, you know, that he knows. So, you know, there's so much you can do with $1 million to put on other people. And Jaw just, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how many people he's put on in his life, but he seems like the type of guy, he's the type of leader on the court that lifts everyone up around him. I can definitely see him being the type of guy that would use that money to lift other people up around him. So you're right, it's not a lot of money, but being able to say, hey, I won that, I got an extra million.
So
$1 million's, I think it's a nice round number too for him. Do you think he would do it for $999,999?
I think he would not do it. He would absolutely put his foot down and say, screw you, give me that extra
dollar.
He wants that
cool mill.
No, that's a fair point. $1 million is nothing to sneeze at, and I don't mean to belittle that as a, you know, insignificant sum of money. It's not. But just to these players who are making this much money, if he really wants to make $1 million to buy somebody a house, Trey, which you don't even need $1 million to buy a house. If you want to buy somebody a house, buy him a $200,000 house or a $300,000 house. But you can invest your money and probably make that within the year without having to risk injury or go out and win a dunk contest, which you're not guaranteed to win anyway. So I don't know if I necessarily buy that logic, but I get it. It's a good point. Here's another just an interesting little tidbit. $1 million for Zach LaVine would be about $2,662 for an average American. That's their percentage of their salary. So even less, even more of a pittance for Mr. Zach LaVine. So I just don't think here's what I would rather do with that money.
I mean,
though.
I'm with you on the I don't agree with the raising the money. Being
well, here's what I'd rather do. If you're going to do $1 million, you know what? Give it to a charity. Hey, I'm paying for $1 million for a charity buying my friend. I don't know. Buying my friend a house or something, like, you know, maybe I'm playing for this family member or something. I don't know. Something like that. Just don't make it like I'm giving a player $1 million, because it just seems like to me that's just not enough incentive for enough people. And I just don't think money is going to be there. There are other ways to make this better.
So Keith Cork on the spot, how much would be enough? Not for you, but so like you said, $1 million is just not enough incentive. What would be enough incentive for John Morant to do it? Like $5 million? 10,
oh yeah, 20? I think if you even made like $3 million, I don't know, just $1 million just doesn't seem like enough. But I don't think that's a good incentive. I don't think it's a good incentive. I don't think you should give them more money. I don't think it's not something I think they
should give them more money if they only paid them $40,000. But I don't think it has to even be $1 million. Like, give them a couple, $200,000, $300,000. But that $40,000 is a bit of a joke.
Well, here's the other thing though, Trey, is that when you're a dunk contest champion, you're already getting paid more money because you can put that on your freaking resume in free agency. It's not necessarily the thing that's gonna like get you like an extra, you know, $55 million or something, but it's gonna make you look better over the next guy. So you are getting paid for winning it, even though you're not getting the prize money. So it feels like they're getting double paid if you give them extra money also. So, and I don't mean to be like,
you sound like the guy who's like, you can't pay college players. They're already getting an education.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic. Yeah. See, no, I agree. No, I don't agree with that. But anyways, I'm a players guy, not a in the players versus owners a thing, even though I'm not coming off that way. So just to clarify and clear the air there. But no. So I think there are some things you can do, Trey, and I think we agree to make this dunk contest better. But that's going to be it for us, guys. We are going to go in. I do unfortunately have to work on Thursday night right when the Bulls game's happening, so I'm not sure what's going to go on with that. Maybe we'll get on for a quick show or something late in the night, or maybe the next day or something, but we'll figure it out. But before we do sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Until next time, I am your owner, Stan, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
Defending players at Final.
And please do follow the show, guys, at Eat Those Bulls. And we will catch you all next time. Until then, go Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.